Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They'd have everybody throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? We'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome inside the playbook for a Tuesday afternoon. We welcome you back to Patriots.com radio. I'm very pleased to still be joined by the members of PFW and PFW in progress.
That won't take long.
It won't take long?
For you not to be pleased.
Well, I would have been annoyed right when I started when Fred was having his own conversation to the side.
Oh, so this is where Eric actually participates.
Yes, on the playbook.
Of course it is.
The Queen and the Rook show.
Of course it is. Clearly, today's program is a little bit different in the fact that we do have a wrap-up of the 2012-2013 season to kind of get to here. And there's I know a ton of emails that we're going to get to, which is part of the reason why these guys are sticking around, because a lot of the questions are coming toward them from their program earlier. But for those that listen to the playbook on a regular basis, this is the drill on a Tuesday. You know what day it is. It is Nitpick Tuesday. And so if you have nits to pick, you better make them good, because this program in particular won't be back until next September. At least that's the game plan. And, of course, the PFW guys will go to their Tuesday and Thursday off-season routine here coming up actually this Thursday starting. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You know the drill, 508-298-0398, web radio at patriots.com, the email. You want to hit me up on Twitter, at JR Broadcaster. If you want to do the Facebook, John.Rook, and we can hit all of the messages. We'll try to get in as many as we can. Two things to keep in mind for the program today as we kind of try to wrap a bow around this and hopefully look toward next year. Number one, in addition to nitpicks, the main thing I want you to try to do is look ahead, because I think it's clear to see that there are still some very important parts to this puzzle that we will, should remain in place for next season. There's so much, however, to be said for, well, we don't know if Wes Welker will be here. We don't know if Danny Woodhead will be here. We don't know if so-and-so, because there are guys that are free agents that could very well end up moving on. I'm sure each of the PFW guys have their own opinions on whether they should be here or not be here, and that will all take care of itself over the course of the next 4 to 6 months. But what I want you to do today, in addition to your nitpick and an ability to gripe and ability to moan and complain and just basically get it off your chest from Sunday's disappointment, I want you to come up with one move to improve. One move to improve the Patriots for 2013. Not several moves, one move. What's at the top of your list for the Patriots to improve in 2013? All right, once again, the email is webradio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. John.Rook, Facebook, at JR Broadcaster is the Twitter address.
Now, so, I kind of throw that out here. Is that how you run a real radio show?
Believe
I was
not.
Thinking the
you
same
set,
thing.
You
I was
the
like,
table.
And, believe
it or not. I was going to say, you've obviously never hosted a show before. That's not how Fred does it.
Come on. It's not that big a deal. Not
I really
that big
like
deal.
The move to improve.
The move to
one
improve.
Move. One move.
One move
to improve. Improve.
Right? So you got one, Andy?
I mean, pass defense. I mean, is that too broad?
How narrow do I
specific? Be specific
cover
with the move.
Corner.
Yeah. Do you want a pass wrap. Rusher or a cover corner?
Let me give you, for instance,
I think that's
would
what
you bring back
to.
Aqib Talib?
I would not. Okay. I don't think you're going to be capable of it. I think he's going to get money somewhere, and I'm not willing to sign. First of all, I don't think he was good enough. I think his role, the theory of him was better than the production.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a guy that Belichick's confident doing that with, matching up, and I just want somebody else. I think there'd be a risk of off-field issues. He had a nice honeymoon period here, but that honeymoon period lasted, what, half a season? And he was injured for half of that half a season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think somebody's going to pay him. I think somebody's going to, a quarter of a season. I think somebody's going to pay him $40 or $50 million or what. I don't think you're going to be able to get him for 3 years, $15 million. I'd take him at that.
So I'd go pass rusher. I still think they need an elite pass rusher. I think with Chandler Jones, if you could pair another guy with that and then allow Ninkovich to kind of be rotational guy, move around guy, outside linebacker, D end, versa, then I think you got something. Plus, I'm scared of Belichick, you know, investing in corners because he hasn't picked the right one for damn near 5 years.
So you would want to pick up an edge pass rusher.
I always lean towards the rush. I don't know why.
Yeah. And you're talking free agency rather than draft.
Yeah, I haven't really seen the free agent list. My boss didn't get it to me yet, but
working on it.
Yeah, well, not necessarily. I could get it through the draft, too, and maybe that guy's kind of 1 year behind Jones. Jones makes that big leap next year to be the guy. The other guy is kind of coming along in that tandem. But pass rusher.
But it sounds like to me that you don't think that Jones will become that elite pass
rusher. No, I do think he's going to be good.
He's saying in addition
to Jones. I think
you
need more than one.
You need two guys.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
How do the Giants beat us? They had five.
That's very true.
I want a few. And then that allows, as I said, Ninkovich, and then maybe Justin Francis becomes a nice little rotational guy. But I don't want to be starting AFC title games with Justin Francis.
But you would start, though, with the defensive line.
Well, yeah, the edge of the defensive front.
Because I agree with Andy, because I don't think Ninkovich is... I mean, he played defensive end this year. He was a defensive end this year.
Right.
But I think he's better suited as a stand-up guy who can...
And move around.
And move around a little
bit
more.
I want Bill to say, okay, I have Jones and
I have
whoever the other guy is.
Now, Ninko can make
his
plays.
How can I use this guy creatively, versatile-wise, moving him around? I think he could have fun with him if he didn't need him.
Can you get anything like that out of Dante Hightower?
Possibly. Well, I also think you're going down the road of... I'm just... Mayo spikes on the field at the same time to me. I don't know what the value in that is.
Well, spikes to me.
So
sort of
limited in coverage?
Well, limited in coverage. I think they're just big physical linebackers in a league where I'm not sure you need big physical linebackers anymore.
Unless you go to a 3-4, then you could have them both in the middle.
Yeah, and then you lose. I think I want to be in the 4-3 speed based. I'm trending towards, you know, what I said earlier. I'm trending towards the old Colts, where I have good pass rushers.
Yeah.
I'm speed-based. I can attack these offenses.
Okay. All right, well, I'll let the other guys think about what they want to do. We'll kind of spread this out a little bit over the course of the other.
No. I
let you lead off.
Okay, yeah, I'll take that.
I
haven't let off since freshman baseball in high school.
I'm with Andy 100%, I think, pass
front four?
Yeah,
pass rush. All right. One move to improve is what I want you to think about in addition to the nitpicks for today. We probably should make those out, right? What do you think, Fred? Is that in the budget?
T-shirts?
Yeah,
sure.
One move to improve.
Still waiting on our PFW
t-shirts. It's in your court. Ball's in your court.
There you go. See?
No, it's in your court. You're chasing down having a heart attack.
I had a problem with the design. I sent it back to you guys. It fell in the black hole, never came back.
Wow. See?
He's an angry.
It's always back on you. It's always back on you.
We did, and he poo-pooed them. He didn't like them.
I like the shirts, by the way.
These shirts are nice.
Oh, the t-shirts. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe,
all right.
Fred, can we get something like that for next year?
What do you got there, John?
A little pullover sweater
here. Pullover sweater?
Yeah.
Like V-neck sweater?
Yeah, a little V-neck fleece thing. Yeah.
You guys starting to come around, aren't you?
No, not that. That's hideous.
That's okay.
Eric is wearing...
That's something we should work on for next year.
Off-blue crew neck.
We need to put the cameras on during our shows.
Yes.
Yeah. Cameras should be on.
We've had fans who've asked that.
We should webcast this.
I don't think
I think people would be very
disappointed. You want to stream it?
You know, like I watch Felger and Maz, and after 5 minutes, it's like, what am I looking at?
Right.
It's not even...
Yeah, but you know what, though? For the people that don't normally get a chance to see what we're all about, I'm talking about most of our fans who listen to this programming who are from outside of New England.
You'd be stunned
then,
the number of people that watch that.
They will actually put it on because they want to see your facial reaction, your ticks when things are going wrong or you're reading an email whatever.
Well, first of all, there's an investment.
Because he has the other thing, too.
You need someone, you know, back in KSB Studios kind of
running the cameras.
Then I think... It becomes even better if you actually have somebody. You know how like Kevin runs the board,
right?
And he'll throw in a soundbite. Well, now we've got video, so you should be throwing in B-roll or even stills, matching what we're talking
about.
But
you'd have to have somebody produce the thing.
I think you do.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
And
I think if you're willing to do that, it could have value.
You just have to invest in it.
Right.
That's a whole other story. So
right.
I think we know that.
T-shirts are in the budget. That is not.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Here's our good friend Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge, you're in the playbook.
John, how you doing? Glad to hear you.
Good. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for being here.
Yes, sir. Nitpick, the day before, a week before the game, they keep showing Football Life with Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And it keeps going back to saying, well, you know, when we had Moss and Welker, that we could shut down Moss, they shut down Moss, we ain't going to do that no more.
Yeah.
Well, we ain't one of them with small ball. We got 18-0 with the long ball, but you need a combination of both. That's my nitpick, you know.
You didn't win anything with either.
You did the same thing in 07 that you did in
2011. We got more yardage, and we had somebody.
They don't give out rings for yardage.
You lost.
You lost the Super Bowl with both.
You lost the Super Bowl to the Giants in the last minute.
John won't yell at you, but I will.
We lost on the defense. We lost on the defense.
No, you lost because you couldn't score. You scored 17 points.
You've been held to teens and had a bad defense throughout the 07 to now era.
Eldridge, they scored 17 points, and they scored 14 points in 07.
Once wasn't enough for Eldridge today. He had to call back a second time.
No, like I said, we lost on the defense. But anyway, that's my nitpick.
Okay.
That's my nitpick.
Yep.
And, Trey, Andy, I totally disagree with you wholeheartedly. You keep to lead. You get rid of all the rest of the garbage, like Cole, Arrington.
Whoa. It's not about Cole and Arrington. It's about money and the resources you have. And the question we were posing was Welker or to lead. If you can only invest in one of those guys as a big deal.
Even if you have Darrell Revis, you're still going to need the Coles and the Arringtons, and you're going to need the numbers.
Yeah. And Arrington may be gone. He's a special team.
Arrington's a free agent who might not be back.
He might not be back, too. But you say Tlaib, though. Keep Tlaib.
Yeah,
Arrington and Cole, both of the special teamers. They're not a good cover corner. They're both.
We know that. Everybody agrees on that.
We agree with that.
Like I said,
Bill Belichick, everybody.
Even for backups, you know what I mean? Even for backups, they're worse as backups. They should be on the bench.
Are you willing to pay Aqib Tlaib $35-45 million, whatever it's going
to
take?
I would, Aqib. Yes, I would.
I wouldn't.
I would.
But you don't like to pay anyone, Andy.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is.
That's
no problem with Gronkowski getting paid.
I had no problem with when you're elite, I pay you elite.
More than you, we're the best on tape, but which we might be. But in the Super Bowl and the playoff where it counts, we always choke down with a better
positive
defense.
Now?
And it's the same way. It's the same way. They
you are a lot of things. That isn't one of them.
We ain't got no corners that can cover day receivers.
I agree.
If you look at the game. If you look at those, it's happened every time with the Giants, the Ravens, whoever, the Seattle Seahawks, whoever got a better defense and physical, we get our asses kicked.
Yep. I agree with all that.
We get our asses kicked.
Especially when we play the hardballs.
We don't have nobody that can separate. That's all. That's about. That's why Brady was holding the ball so much Sunday. And like I said, like he's frustrated. Hell, I'd be frustrated too if I can't get nobody open.
Yeah. I think people are letting Brady off the hook for Sunday. I'm going to state that. Based on what I heard yesterday and most of what we've been...
But let him off the hook?
I think Brady was awful on Sunday.
I think he was awful.
I think people are saying, well, they don't have anybody to separate. They don't have this. They don't have that. They have plenty on offense.
He missed Aaron Hernandez open a couple of times. That game Sunday, too. Yep. He did not play well.
I thought Woody was open, you know, coming out of the backfield a couple times. He didn't even look at him.
Open, he put it on him. They dropped the ball.
Yeah, they had a couple of drops.
There were some drops.
He had more than a couple of guys that he missed.
But most of the time, like I said, he's getting frustrated because they couldn't get open. And Brandon Lloyd, I, like I said, that's Bambi. He need to be an African back show, jumping up around instead of just running. Because I'm like you, Eric. I like to see him run one time, catch the ball, and keep going.
That's me.
You know what I mean? I ain't seen that. I take it back. The only time I seen that, when he was number one receiver for Denver and the Rams, like I told y'all, beginning of the year. When he was the man, he was the man. But when he came here, that went out the window because he wasn't the man. And he never jumped around like that much.
You don't have any Brandon Lloyd fans on this show. You don't have to convince us that he's been a disappointment.
Yeah.
That was a big mistake. I'd rather have Moss, because look what Moss playing at. Look what Brandon playing at. I'd take four catches for Moss any day of the week.
Moss is
and then
done.
Have Brandon. Or, matter of fact, I would have kept.
He's going to get his ring on.
Like I said, I still say Stallworth was something just to get away from.
And he'll have as much Brandon to do with that as you do.
Non-factor.
Yep.
I still would have kept
no, I didn't say you would.
No,
I
didn't. All right.
By the way, Sean Payton has been reinstated.
Yes, I realize that.
That's correct. All right, Eldridge. Thanks, buddy. Right. I appreciate it.
Fred John, changing roles in this show. Yes. He's going to go to the information guy.
A quick
information
update on Brandon Lloyd.
Yes.
I saw this on Twitter. I didn't read the story, but apparently Ron Borges had a nice cheap shot at him in his report card saying, sure, he caught seven passes, but he spent more time on his knees than the nuns of St. Catherine's.
Catherine's. Nice.
Yeah, he had several.
Borderline dirty. Like
he meant in prayer.
No, I know. That's what I. Because I was like, wait, nun? Wait, what?
He takes everything. Yeah, like
right. Because you could say the same. Then the prostitutes in Amsterdam.
Then that would be dirty.
And I immediately
saying
think,
the nuns of St. Catherine's.
Whoa, Ron. I know you're an edgy guy, but taking shots at nuns for being prostitutes? No. Not cool.
Here's Jim in Florida who says, my nitpick, John, actually. Two. First of all, the hand-wringing over the consequences of losing Tlaib in the first quarter. My nitpick is with Belichick and the brain trust. that wasted so many high draft picks on cornerbacks that haven't panned out. Butler, Dowling, Wheatley, McCourty, who's actually more effective at safety. So many high draft picks wasted on corners and our pass defense in the title game hinged on a midseason trade acquisition. And when Tlaib went out on the first quarter, our pass D was on the heels the rest of the game with no adequate replacement. My second nitpick directed at spoiled Pats fans like myself who are sulking about Sunday's loss. Yes, it's a disappointing effort, but I have been a diehard Pats fan since the 60s, and the past 12 seasons include the very best football we Pats fans have ever enjoyed. So thank you, Bob Kraft, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots for a hell of a run.
Hear, hear.
Yes, we have a right to feel frustrated the Pats lost on Sunday, but let's take heart in having been treated to some pretty exciting Pats football in 2012, 13 wins, 500 points, and knowing the nucleus is there for another successful season in 13.
I second that emotion.
You know, all in favor, say aye.
You know what the trend
aye.
Is? It's the real Patriots fans who've been fans of the team for a long time have your theory. You know, this guy's been around since the 60s, and he knows what it was like when it wasn't so
good. He's experienced the other side.
And he's appreciative of
that's
how
right.
great this team has been for the Belichick-Brady era, and they're always in it. And the guys who came on and jumped on the bandwagon
they're the ones that are doing the complaining.
But even those bandwagon people, just pay attention to the rest of the league for once, and then you'll appreciate what you have here.
Could be in Oakland.
I'm like you, Fred. I remember those days, even though I wasn't living in
New England. I was sitting in those cold, aluminum seats.
I was watching the Raiders because the Patriots games weren't on.
Yelling for Doug Flutie. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
No, but I think there is a trend. I think the people that have been around for longer than just this era are more appreciative of how great they've been over this extended period.
Because we remember always wishing we were the 49ers and the Steelers.
Absolutely. When are we going to get over the hump?
When are we going to be that team?
Right.
Well, guess what? You're that team now.
That's exactly right.
You're the team that everybody hates.
Fred's crying.
Are that team. Relish in it. You are the 49ers and the Cowboys and the Giants and the Steelers of those days. You're them now. You are them. Okay? It's okay.
Andy, do you have the paddles? I think we need them for Fred.
Just saying. The team that we always wish we were, we are.
We're going to go to Virginia. We're going to go to Texas. Yeah.
Yes.
Wait. Clear.
Yes, we came up short. We came up short, but we are that team. Everybody hates us. That's what we want.
I love it. Here's
Alvin. That's what Terrell Suggs said.
Alvin,
you should be
Texas.
Arrogant.
Right.
Hey, Alvin, you're in the playbook.
Preamble to Jay. The thing I was gonna ask, what do you guys think about Wes Welker's wife about those comments? I agree with everything what she said about those comments.
Yeah, I agree.
She didn't say anything that was technically wrong.
Nope.
She was certainly speaking out of frustration, I think, from the game, and she has backtracked somewhat, but nevertheless,
she did not say
anything that was factually incorrect.
I don't mind the murder. It's the six kids before women that I
got. But is that considered slander? I don't think that's slander. No.
It's not slander if it's true. Nobody said it's slander.
It's just not the Patriot way.
On my Facebook.
Yeah. Bill Belichick doesn't want wives writing stuff post-game on Facebook.
No, that's true. They want the wives to
The wives don't want Bill Belichick punting on 4th-and-2 from the 35.
Yeah, about Julian Edelman? Is he going to be resigned, or is they going to let him go?
I think he'll be back.
Edelman?
I think he'll be back.
I don't think he'll have much value.
Yeah, so he's got a value here as an extra receiver and a good punt returner that takes some of the pressure off Welker.
I would agree.
It's like the Arrington thing. You know, he could be back for the minimum.
We might lose this game, but we're still coming back next year. I guarantee you that. Gronkowski's going to get healthy. It's like Bill Belichick said. You guys will have to put up with me one more time. And I've been a diehard Patriots fan since 1993. I know how it feels, but I'm damn proud about this team. And I tell all my buddies on Facebook, just enjoy it until it lasts. Is that right, Eric, Andy, and Paul?
Hell yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Alvin, that's the most lucid you've ever sounded.
The 49ers are going to beat the crap out of those Ravens, and Ray Lewis is going to walk away.
I'm not so sure about that.
Whatever's in his locker room.
I'm not so sure about that.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't go over that. Who are we rooting for?
49ers. I'm glad one Harbaugh has to lose.
Yeah,
just such an angry.
I just can't believe that you would really think that.
Was that helmet to helmet when Ridley got hurt? I mean, got injured.
Yes, yeah, but it's legal.
Legal helmet to helmet.
Running backs.
Helmet to helmet.
Running
He's
backs.
Not defenseless.
He wasn't
or anything.
A defenseless player.
That's a man up football. I'm going to run you over. You're going to hit me. Oops, you hit me.
Yep.
If you were going to call a penalty on that, who would you call it on?
Just so happened it was Bernard Pollard.
Yeah.
And he's the Patriot killer that we know. So it's,
but
I just,
seriousness, if helmet to helmet was illegal on that play, who would you call the penalty on?
I don't know.
Who initiated the contact?
It'd be like the NBA, double technical.
You can make an argument on both sides. Yes, exactly.
My last comment would be like, how much cap space do we have on the Patriots?
Isn't it $18 million?
I don't know what it is, but Belichick certainly poo-pooed that yesterday.
I want to say $18 million, but they have room. They'll have room to do what they want.
They have room to do some things.
Yeah, it's nice talking 18. To you guys. Go Pats, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Alvin.
We won't be here.
You'll probably
talk to us, though, because you're cuckoo, cuckoo.
Well, you'll be talking to someone. There'll be voices in your head.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Alvin, he sounded okay today.
No, he wasn't the cocaine born cuckoo. Cowboy? It's the drugs that have induced this personality.
He's the cocaine cowboy.
He's from the Valley, you know.
Yes.
There's no hope with dope.
You're actually from Texas. I said, Alvin, where are you from? And he said, the Valley. I was like, aren't there multiple valleys in Texas?
No.
It's a big place.
The Rio Grande Valley is considered the Valley
in
Texas.
But would you say that's the Valley?
Yes,
like in America.
In Texas? No,
not in Texas.
No, I would think the Valley.
Just say
if you're just saying the Valley,
you're thinking California.
Looking at the whole United States, you'd think California.
Right.
Okay, so that's why Andy and I had no idea what he's talking about.
Well, you had to look at the call screen. It says Texas.
Man,
and he says he's from the Valley in Texas. Well, that's the Rio Grande Valley. That's where, down around
still,
Edinburgh.
Andy and I had no idea because, never mind. He's
all
the cocaine cowboy.
Eddie says.
I'm from the island.
Eddie says, one move to improve. Change from a bend, don't break, read and react defense to an attacking defensive scheme. Make offenses worry where the pressure is coming from instead of us worrying about what the offense is going to do.
I agree.
That's
you got to get a pass.
You got
to
get people
to
who can do that. Right. Exactly.
It's not just a scheme thing. It's a personnel.
Personnel.
Yeah, I do like the some of the changes they've made defensively in terms of their not necessarily scheme, but their mindset.
Yes.
I think they have been more aggressive this year than they have in the recent past.
Because of Tlaib.
And I like that. And I think that, especially, the whole bend but don't break, almost every defense to some extent now is bend but don't break. There are very few that just go out there and cause, like Fred said, San Francisco on Sunday got decimated in the first half.
You're either bend but don't break or you just suck.
Right.
Because there's dominant shutdown, no
points. No one goes out there and goes 3-and-out, 3-and-out, 3-and-out. This is the 85 Bears, and we're not going to allow you to move. I mean, everybody gets 300 yards every game offensively at minimum.
The Niners were break and repair.
Yes. Break, and then
they fixed
themselves. Get it together.
Right. They did. Here, Mark on Twitter says, it's all about the rush for at Jumbo Heart. Rush the passer, rush to the toilet.
That's true.
That's true.
That's a good point.
Very good. So it's all about the rush still. All right. Again, we're asking you, number one, not only for your nitpicks from Sunday's loss, but one move to improve for 2013 for the Patriots.
Really like it's move to improve in 2013. Get some bumper stickers.
That's it. It should be. We have that in the budget?
Yes. Those are cheaper than
bumper stickers,
right?
Web radio at...
No, we have no budget.
Suck for luck.
There isn't.
Move to improve.
Web radio at patriots.com. Ace ticket hotline 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Email here. Here's one from Robin who says, hire Pete Carroll back as the coach.
What'd you think of that, Fred?
No.
He did beat you.
Yes, he did. He did beat you.
Well...
Between him and the Harbaughs, they
kicked their ass. This is going to be another loss. They were really 14-2. Because he refuses to believe that Baltimore won. I'm sure the Seattle game is the same. No, he's nodding. Yeah, no,
he doesn't dispute it.
They didn't really
in his
lose.
Own little world in there. There's a whole different set of standings.
They did lose to the Ravens this week, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, this is an actual loss.
Oh, they
lost.
That is big of
it was
you.
A loss.
Yeah.
Wow. Lamont says they need a tall, physical wide receiver.
Well, okay,
is that just Eldridge writing under another name?
Might have been.
So you haven't asked me yet, John, but I'll jump in here.
Jump in right now.
You know, I look at guys like A.J. Green and I look at guys like Julio Jones and I want one of those guys. You know, and whether it comes to the draft or an established free agent, I want a big, tall, fast wide receiver, you know, and I'm going to sound like Eldridge here.
No, I'm with you, though.
But it can be done.
And Eldridge.
You know, because we've been told, like in the past, we've been told it's really hard to get those receivers to come in and contribute right away and really taking a gamble. I'm not sure anymore, like you said, Eric. I'm not sure. I think if you do your homework, you can get a guy in here that can really contribute doing that. And I'd like to have one of those
guys. That used to be the case. It used to be that a running back you could just insert as a rookie – and it was easier because the playbook, you know, for him was just, you know, run this way, run that way. And for a receiver, it was different. It would take at least a year or two or three sometimes for them to get in. Now, I don't think that's the case anymore.
I'd love to have one of those freaks, those 6'4 freaks that, you know, because we haven't really haven't had any of them, you know. Every guy we have is on the practice squad, and we, you know, we hope he could be someday.
Kamar Aiken.
Yeah. You know?
I think that that's a need. It just wouldn't be my number one, but I think that's absolutely a need. And, you know, to steal your phrase about the Wes Welker drop, if the whole game hinged on that one drop, then maybe we rely too much on Wes Welker. If we can't get a big, fast, physical receiver to come in and be able to understand fast enough to be able to contribute, then maybe we need to change our offense a little bit.
Well, then that goes back to me, where maybe we're just too smart for our own britches. You know, we think about it too much, and Brady
that was
called
word of the daytime.
Oh, Fred likes to take his pants off when he gets home. That's
Brady,
why,
Brady insists on getting to the line and making the perfect call and expecting these wide receivers to know what to do when they have three options in front of them and always make the perfect choice.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying.
And that very few guys could do that, it seems.
Right. But the whole problem with this whole discussion, and I love the discussion, by the way.
I do too.
I don't know if I've told you.
I'm not used to being on a real radio show.
But to get an elite pass rusher or a freak wide receiver in either free agency or the draft, you have to invest. You either have to invest $50 million.
I hear you.
Yeah.
And I don't see them doing that because that's not what they do.
I definitely wouldn't do that for a wide receiver.
And you don't get one of those generally picking 29th in the draft when you only have five draft picks and can't move up.
It's my understanding, though, that there may be, Fred, some receivers worthy of late first-round selections that could be available to meet what you're talking about.
But they take a couple of years. Torrey Smith took a couple of years. You could get Torrey Smith in that area, right? That's where he went.
I think that's about where he went.
Well, he didn't take a couple of years.
Well, he really blossomed this season.
His numbers last year were close to what they were this year.
Yeah, but
if he's still have your basic guys left in offense, you have your two tight ends. Let's say, for instance, you bring Welker back. Let's just, for argument's sake, Welker's back, and you have all the ingredients back, and you got Brandon Lloyd again for another year, then why couldn't you take a shot at a receiver like that and bring him along like the Ravens brought along Torrey Smith? That makes perfect sense.
But would he be the difference maker?
That's the reason I wouldn't do it. Because I think you're offense is already really, really good, and I agree they need that. That's a missing piece to me, and that they need. But how much better is your offense going to get?
Andy's, hopefully better than getting shut out in the second half of the AFC
real
title
question
game.
Is
Andy's
how
move
much
to
better,
improve can make you a team
yeah, but
that much
Paul,
better.
The real question is how much better can your offense be when you play teams like the Ravens?
Yeah, and I would argue I don't know how much better you can be.
But that's the question.
But you need
it's not about
better,
scoring 600 points.
You need to be better because you were shut out in the second half.
And every
so it's
time
clear
you've
that
lost.
You have a need.
When you've lost, you've been in the teens. Your offense hasn't
that's
been good
right.
enough. You're playing in a game where you need to score 20 and you get teens.
So it's clear there's just not enough offense.
Right,
at least
but
not
there's also
time.
Not anywhere near as much defense.
Right,
you need improvements in both areas,
right.
No question.
That's why you only get one move to improve. He was very clear on that.
Right, and that's why
one
I
move to
your
improve.
One move. I think your move is very important.
It's like
but
the WEEI
the
thing to save the environment. Just one thing.
Just
you
one
do
thing.
Just one thing.
John in South Carolina. Talent, one move to improve. Talent on the offensive line. Stop making Dante create chicken salad out of chicken bleep. Either center or right guard, or, he says, tell Andy's mom to lower her rates.
Oh.
Just kidding, Andy. I just wanted to hear Rook say something about Andy's mom. See,
screw
that
you,
just
John.
Goes to show you, John, I do read all of the emails.
You live up to your state's mascot, you cock.
See now.
Wow.
Wait, they're the Gamecocks. You don't see those hats that say Cox on the front?
No, I do. But
oh, okay.
That's
they say go
that's
Cox.
Not,
that's go
not,
Cox.
Go Cox.
That's right.
He roots for the Cox. He knows a lot about Cox.
You said that. Yeah. That, you said
he's
it
a big
in,
fan of Cox.
But
said
I also
it in
say,
a derogatory way.
You know, the whole
I thought
thing,
Cox was a cable system.
Yeah.
Cox is big in Rhode Island.
Wow. All right. Let's let Big Al and Valdosta, Georgia, in here to kind of break this up. Hello, Big Al.
Fellas, how you doing?
Excellent.
You know, I would agree that I had picked the Patriots to win this game on the assumption that, if you recall, John, from last week, on the assumption the pass rush would be better than it was in the first game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I think losing Kyle Love was a big loss in that game because it affected Wilfork. And, you know, obviously, Ninkovich is nicked up and Chandler Jones and we just couldn't get the rush in there. I thought it was going to be better. Also, this was real refs as opposed to the replacement refs we had in the first game. And I thought it'd be a different game, but it just obviously didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
It actually was a different game, but it was much worse.
Yeah, exactly.
The Ravens blew them out.
It went downhill. You know, listen, I don't mean to be piling on Tom Brady either. I don't want Tom Brady to play for anybody else, but I think since this injury, fellas, I don't care about the stats. I'm not a stats guy. I don't care. I know what I'm looking at. And what I'm looking at is a guy who's the last two or three years has kind of slowly unleashed his inner Blaine Gabbert. Okay. We're a little scared in the pocket. We're just a little scared in the pocket. And you can say that we got to have a deep threat, but you got to have a quarterback that's willing to hang in there and throw a deep ball. And, increasingly, I don't think we have one.
Yeah. I mean, I started the show, John, our show, and I said that, and I did the same preamble that Al did.
Okay.
There's nobody that I want quarterbacking the Patriots. I think he is going to go down as if not the best. He's in that discussion.
He's in the top
all
three.
Time.
Top three.
But the facts remain that when everybody looks for the common thread, the commonality of all these losses. Fred brings up a really good point about the style of defense. To me, the common thread is your quarterback doesn't play anywhere near as well in the playoffs as he does in the regular season, mm-hmm. and you get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that people don't want to talk about it. I heard 15 different ways to say, well, it wasn't Tom's best game on Sunday.
Right.
You know what?
Right.
He sucked on Sunday. It wasn't not
yep.
his best game.
He stunk.
Played poorly.
Yeah, he was bad.
There's a difference. And again, it doesn't mean I want somebody else quarterbacking the Patriots.
Right.
I think Big Al is exactly right. I don't think he throws the deep ball very well. They don't really even try it all that often anymore. Everybody wants to talk about this, that, and the other thing about the receivers don't get separated. They had plenty of guys that he just missed the other day. The four of us were looking at each other and say, did that get tipped? Did that go straight into the line? I thought Flacco was going to have problems with the wind. I don't know if it was wind-related at all, but Brady had trouble throwing the ball Sunday night for whatever reason. The ball was fluttering. He threw some knuckleballs. He just didn't look like himself, and I agree with him about in the pocket. More often than not, with very few exceptions, since he got hurt, he's looking for pressure at
yep.
times in big spots. Third and eight, and when he's looking around, and all of a sudden he starts getting antsy, and he starts running around and moving around. Almost, they used the term against the Jets in that playoff game in 2010, seeing ghosts. I thought he was seeing
yep.
ghosts the other night again. He
yep,
was panicking.
I
thought
right,
he was.
Paul.
He looked antsy in the pocket.
Yep.
I think you're absolutely right, Paul. I could not agree with you
Peyton
more.
Peyton Manning
10,000%.
Was a choking dog the week before. He put up 21 points when also having 14 more points added on for returns that he didn't
yeah.
get a chance to score on those drives.
And see,
and he's
easy.
A choking dog. But
easy
for some reason,
excuse,
it wasn't
Paul,
Tom's best
when
game
you can,
when they scored 13.
Wes Welker dropping a ball, and you can say, well, that's the excuse this time, if Welker catches that ball, blah, blah, blah.
And that's Fred,
which is
yeah,
actually
that's Fred's
a fairly
point, yeah.
legit point, but it masks over what you're saying about Brady. I mean, I think it masks that over.
Yeah, and I thought, his handling of the clock at the end of the first half was just, I thought it was panicky.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was
terrible.
Un-Brady-like, for lack
just
of a
like
better term.
Just like in Seattle. Same thing happened
in Seattle. Yeah, and everybody says, Brady, you never see Brady do that. Well, yeah, really? I saw it like three times this year. And
yep.
once they got away with it in Baltimore, where they threw a touchdown
yep.
pass on the last play of the half. If that was incomplete, they wouldn't have gotten any points on that one either.
Yep.
So,
yep, at some point.
I'm
tracking with you, big fella.
All right, how about a move to improve,
big.
Al? Move to improve.
Well, move to improve. I agree with what the guys are saying. Yeah, I mean, you keep working on that pass rush. How much are you willing to spend? But I would, if we're going to keep Tom Brady as a quarterback, assuming we are, and I wouldn't be against it. I certainly want to keep him. But let's not worry about getting a deep threat because it's not going to help. Don't spend a lot of money on a deep threat. Spend some money on defense. I hate to, quote my bulldog, Richard Seymour.
Yeah.
And I understand maybe there was reasons we had to move Richard Seymour. I'm not making that, I'm not fighting that one over again. But, he said, I forget what year it was, several years ago, quote, if you notice, we haven't won a lot of Super Bowls since we haven't been putting a lot of strength on defense, unquote. Now, maybe that's just a defensive player talking up his side of the ball. I don't know. But I think he was right then. I think he's still right.
I think the two first-round draft picks were defense this year, and we're hoping that in year two that they start to make more of an impact. I think they know that. I think they just have missed. They've simply missed. McCourty was a first-round pick.
Right. That's right.
You know, so it's not like they don't know it. They know it. They just haven't gotten the guys yet. Hopefully Chandler and Hightower are part of that resurgence.
Yep. Yep. I agree. You say five picks this year?
Is that what
it
is?
I think that's
five?
What it is, right, Andy?
Five
draft
total?
Picks?
Yes.
Five.
Yep. 1, 2, 3, and 2, 7. So really only three that are relevant.
Yeah.
Okay. So does that mean you think more of an effort on free agency because there's not as many picks, or what does that mean?
Well, yeah, they have some money and they have
the
holes.
The fact that even Bill mentioned, you know, the salary cap, thinks
well,
you
someone,
know,
someone asked the question. You have a lot of cap space.
Well, the fact that he would even acknowledge it, you know, instead
right.
of I don't know, I, you know, we haven't even looked at that yet. The fact that he acknowledged means they're looking at.
They're already
agency.
Looking.
They're looking hard, hard.
All right, fellas, last thing, and I'll hang up. If any of you want some vintage footage of Joe Capp sucking in Harvard Stadium, I've got it, okay? So don't just shoot me an email. I promise you, you'll get it in the next
good.
Day's mail.
Well,
you'll get it.
This as long is as it's not from the men's bathroom.
This is a dumb thing to say, but
that's more
would Brian,
than Andy.
All right,
would
Big
Brian
L.
Morey want it?
What?
Would Brian Morey want it?
Maybe.
In
yeah.
all
he
seriousness,
might.
For the Hall
yeah,
of
Al.
Patriot Place.
Send something if you have it.
Al, if you have it, and he's not with us anymore, but if you
He died.
He's yeah, no, he just
dead,
disconnected.
You know?
Nice, disconnected. Nice. Al, just send it to us, or if you know where the link is, whatever, just send us an email. And
care
we'll,
of Brian Moore.
Yeah, we'll send it. We'll get it to the Hall. Right?
Quick update on the Brady thing.
Yeah. That's
according
what we
to Ed Reed, Brady went up to him and apologized to him for the kick.
Yeah, I guess Reed spoke on Baltimore radio
so
and
Brady
informed everybody of that.
Knew he had done something naughty.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Cheap, dirty, bitchy play.
It's not good what he did.
Not
bitchy
good?
Is a very good word.
You don't think it was incidental?
No. I think he
targeted
him.
At first I thought he was just raising his leg to protect himself, but then I watched it again. He definitely lashed out with the leg, was looking at what he was
and
doing.
And if Brady went out of the way to apologize, that tells
then
me
he knew
that
he should tell you that he knew he did something wrong, right?
John, I got a bolt. These guys can stay.
Okay.
All right.
Fred's got things to do. All right, Paul, your one thing. One move to improve.
More of them in the press box.
He doesn't want to have to come to games as part of his job.
Andy's would be my number one thing, and I also agree with Fred's need for a big, fast, physical downfield outside the numbers receiver.
Calvin Johnson available?
Yeah. I mean,
Fred's back.
If we could get Calvin Johnson.
Hi, Fred.
I would absolutely look into that, but just to be different and say something else, I think it's not brain surgery to say that they need some more coverage help.
Yeah.
So we talked about that. Last year, one of their number one targets in free agency was Jonathan Finene.
Mm-hmm.
So can you get an interior,
no-no.
You know, a guy who can rush
that
the passer
well.
From the inside? And I think that's what they sort of were looking at in Finene, is a guy that maybe could collapse the pocket, play on passing downs, and provide a push. They get very little. If it's not Ninkovich and Jones on the outside, they don't really get a lot of pressure. It's kind of like when we talk about Denver. It's Dumervil and Miller on the outside. Now, obviously, they're better than Jones and Ninkovich, but they don't get anything from the inside, and that Tom Brady eats that up because he can step right up into the pocket. Well, I think you saw Sunday Joe Flacco ate up the outside pressure because
sure
he
did.
Just stood in the pocket and was very comfortable there. Maybe a Jonathan Finene, you know, who works out.
Can help collapse the pocket, which is what they were
the
hoping
pocket.
To do.
And again, I think Andy's pass, you know, there's a dynamic guy on the edge, a big receiver. Eric talked about more coverage help. All of those things would be higher on the list to me, but that's another one that I think they
I don't know how much research any of you guys have done, but I got some emails and internet stuff that there was some possibility that Peppers would be available, that his contract's reaching a point where they could just
they
go in a different
out.
Direction.
Really?
But he's been pretty good for them. I'm not sure
I know.
They would want to go in a different
he's
direction.
He's had double-digit sacks the last 2 years. I'll take him in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Sure. In a heartbeat. If
we
I could somehow
a
acquire
ago,
him.
Though, didn't
yeah. Yeah. But now he's not going to get the $100 million deal. And now you might be able to sneak in there and get a
you
palatable
get him at a
Patriots
rate.
Deal. And I, in a heartbeat, sign
sure.
me up.
Sure.
Love the Peppers. Love you.
Love you some peppers.
Love me some pepper.
Stig from Norway says, it might not be a nitpick, but more of a question, and it's about the two snaps where they brought out Ryan Mallett on punts. Has anyone asked Bill what he was trying to do on those plays? Surely it wasn't just to force the Ravens to use a timeout. Appreciate the coverage this year. Great work. Too bad we couldn't go all the way. Oh, well, there's always next year.
No, I think on the first one, when I think they were trying to run a fake punt,
yeah. Yes.
And I think Ryan Mallett was going to be part of that, throwing
yes.
the football.
Throwing the ball.
Logan Mankins apparently didn't get the notice early enough and came running out late, and that's when, was it Danelle Ellerby, I think?
Yes, or, I believe. Called timeout.
Called timeout because he noticed, he started pointing and realized, hey, that's Ryan Mallett on the field because here comes Logan Mankins, and the jig was up, but mm-hmm. I think they were trying to run a fake
punt.
If Mangans had been on the field, I think they would have been able to execute it. Yes. I don't know if it would have been successful, but they would have at least, I think,
run
tried
the
to
play.
Run
the fact that Mesko shifted over to the left tells me they were going to run it. Because, if you know, it's one thing to have Mallett out there as a personal protector and say, we want to see how they react to it. We're just going to run the punt, but he's there. You know, the fact that you shift tells me they had the play going. Yeah. Andy, as a guy who played, at a high level,
that's
do you think
sarcasm?
It's,
just
yes.
Yeah.
Know.
Right.
Hashtag
sarcasm.
As a skinny questioner.
Wow. You see what happens? He just can't take it.
Hashtag lard.
Is it a flaw?
Hashtag ass.
Is it a flaw?
Hashtag hole.
You done?
Sorry. Yes, I'm done.
To have Mankins only out there if it's a fake.
Oh, I don't. Yes, and I don't know. That's the first thing that jumped into my mind is you have a guard on your fake field goal team.
That's the first thing that jumped into my mind.
As opposed to a guard on your punt team as opposed to a guard. That I found that strange.
Because I find it hard to believe that Mankins was not out there when they were going to punt.
Right.
I would think that Mankins made a mistake not realizing they were faking the punt. That would, maybe that's an assumption, but.
But no one ran off.
He wasn't out there and he was supposed to be. If he was on the punt team,
he would have been
out there.
But it's not like a guy ran out there. Well, I guess maybe the guy who's the normal guard heard that it was a fake, so he didn't go out there. Yeah, I don't know. It's just unfortunate because I do think they were going to fake it.
Oh, there's not much question in my mind that they were going to fake it.
You lost all opportunity. John, they set that up. They did that against Miami a couple weeks ago where they had Mallett come out. Miami instantly called a timeout, and then they didn't bring Mallett out. They brought Chung back out and ran the regular punt. But you know, they've been dabbling with, they had the punt where they, field goal where they lined up, was it punt or field goal where they lined up Vollmer out wide?
Field goal.
They faked, they had a Wes Welker punt return where they faked a handoff to Deion Branch. They were faking and like showing a lot of
special teams wrinkles.
Trickeration.
And they really
and
never got a chance to
maybe
use
was gonna, when they were going to unveil it and they lost the opportunity.
And now
because
we'll
of
never
Mankins.
Know.
Now we will never know.
And they never won again. Till next year.
Yeah, at least till next year. Brian in Brighton, Mass. Brian, you're in the playbook. How are you?
Hey, good. Good, fellas. I'm still disappointed, but what can you say? Only one team wins the Super Bowl every year.
That's correct.
And the Harbaughs are going to do it.
One of the things, though, my nitpick is, I don't know. I don't think Brady played a great game overall, but I really felt like it was Belichick. So many calls seemed off with him, and it just like constantly playing the field position game and never getting, and we just never punched it in from the beginning of the game. So I just didn't, all along as we were kicking field goals, I'm like, I just thought that was going to bite us.
Yeah, let me second that, Brian, because my biggest nitpick was the play calling. I thought it was abhorrent. That was terrible. I thought that clearly they were being ultra conservative, and you know, except for the one time they did line up with the fake punt, didn't get a chance to run the play.
And except they had a couple others, like they were being conservative, and then they would run these slow developing backside screens, fake, and then the timing on those
was just
off.
I mean, and the thing that really got me though, it was the fact that they were second and two and third and two and throwing the ball. What the hell happened to the running game that you've been cultivating all year long? If you have no confidence in it to go to run the ball on second or third and two, what the heck are we doing here?
Yeah.
I think we saw that was
failed.
A fraud run game.
I think they failed when they did run the ball on third and short, and they didn't want to keep doing it.
All these people Pete Shepard was spewing pregame how great the running game is, and the national media finally noticed. I don't think the running game was great. They had great numbers. Ridley had great numbers as a 1,200-yard back, but they still never proved they could run
the tough yards
in running situations and just flat out, I'm Adrian Peterson, you can line up eight, you can line up nine, I'm going to run right at you, and guess what? We're going to get this done. They've never proven that, and they still haven't proven it.
First field goal drive, third and two from the 12, Ridley, no gain. And I think that was a big play, you know, in the game. And I agree with Andy. I always make the joke that every game, I would say if I was the other team, I hope the Patriots get up to about 30 or 35 runs because that's at least 10 or 12 plays I don't have to defend Tom Brady. And I just don't think that you can beat the a good defense by running the ball until they start running it in a different way.
To that fake field goal, is it just me watching on TV? But it even seemed like it was slow to develop, and everyone saw it coming. If you're going to go for it, then you got to be quick and catch them off guard.
You're talking about the fake punt?
The fake punt.
Fake punt.
They didn't have
personnel.
They didn't have
a
guard.
They only had 10 guys on the field.
So coaching.
Yep, you're right. That is coaching.
That is coaching. Well, it's either coaching or
the player.
The player blew the call. The player didn't know, and
you tell Mankins.
Yeah. Well, to me, you know what?
Not that he didn't know, but he just he wasn't paying attention.
That's on the player, to me. I mean, I'm sure that was gone. I mean, unless you're telling me that Mankins didn't know he was supposed to be.
Maybe he didn't get the call. Maybe he didn't know. You never know. I like Logan, so I'm going to say it's coaching.
I love Logan. He's my favorite guy on the team.
I appreciate that.
And the other thing is, like, a lot of people keep going on about the Wes Welker drop, which was terrible. Mm-hmm. But to me, the game was over on the Ridley fumble. And when that happened, as soon as that happened, I was like, the game is over. And I just couldn't even be upset because that was one of the most brutal things I've seen in the NFL in a long time.
Yep.
Just a man unconscious standing up.
And it wasn't, I know, like, it's like, because it's Ridley, the first, like, inclination is, oh, he fumbled with the game. Well, he didn't fumble.
No.
He got knocked the bleep out. That, every player in the world would have fumbled on that.
Yeah.
I give him credit that it took him till it hit his knee.
Yeah, it almost didn't. He almost made it escape.
He almost managed to fall on it. Yeah.
But
he almost pulled a patent of being unconscious and finding a way to be out of bounds while touching the ball.
Wouldn't that be ironic? The guy who supposedly has ball security problems gets knocked out like that and holds
still
on to
the
ball.
Still held on to the ball. I agree with you. I think that was the play that ended the game.
Yeah,
Because
I think the Patriots were moving on that drive.
But I couldn't get – I mean, that happens. You're just like, wow, that's the NFL.
And then four plays later, 47 yards. Yep. It was a 15-point game. And
it was over.
These two, Andy and Eric, said that was
– Yeah, that was it.
That was it.
Yeah,
and I
even kind
of felt like the play calling towards the end, he kind of quit, I don't know, a little early. I usually liked it when Belichick played to the end. As if he was always in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But
how about a move to improve, Brian?
So my move to improve, I feel like we've kind of got the pass rush going. I mean, if Chandler Jones can actually stay on the field for most of the season and so forth. So I'm still looking at, like, I'm still looking for a good to great cornerback. I feel like Belichick needs that for his scheme.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Like the four guys running around in their zones, trying to knock it out after the receivers catch.
I tend to agree with you. That would have to be, if I could only make one move, significant move, I'd want more help in the secondary. I think that's where I'd want to go.
Absolutely.
I just, you know, you've got to have it. I think you made some strides, but especially if you don't. And I don't know if that move is actually keeping Aqib Talib and paying the guy or going out and finding somebody else. He may be the best that free agency has to offer this year. If that's the case, then I think you probably have to look at trying to re-sign him if he's willing to stick around.
The problem is, if that's the case, then he'll be even more expensive because his agent will say
he might be.
He's the only guy on the market.
He might be. That's very true. But I think we've all seen that's one area that still needs to be improved.
First of all, those are the two areas. If you can improve either one of those dramatically, you're going to be better.
Then either one is
going to
be help the other. That's correct.
Ideally, you'd prioritize both on some level.
Prioritizing them, I'd say pass rush, coverage, and then big receiver.
I put coverage, pass rush
only because I think the pass rush, as it's already developing, can help you overcome some of the deficiencies you have in coverage. So
I just don't think they have a pass rush right now.
Well, I don't either, and I think the reason I sway towards pass rush is I don't think there are very many good cornerbacks. I think it's really hard to find a good one, never mind a great one.
And I think even when you have a great one, it's hard to predict completions.
And you're
right
getting more good defensive ends.
I think you're seeing, you can find every three, you know, every year there's like two or three guys that are new, really good impact pass rushers.
I'm not
talking about sacks either.
Right.
I'm talking about impact the game. You know, if you watch sometimes J.J. Watt, or if you watch, you know, Von Miller, or if you watch even Clay Matthews, when they are on, when they have great games, they have four sacks. But they also have games where they have one and a half. But you watched every play and said, wow, he was a thorn in the quarterback side.
He was an issue on
75% of the snaps.
Speaking
I don't
that,
think
maybe
the
they
Patriots
should
have
borrowed
have
the
that.
Rackets this week instead of
I feel like I've seen Wilfork do that a couple games.
Yeah.
Wilfork get what?
Just getting in the face of the opposing team, like if the quarterback somehow collapsing the pocket.
He can do that occasionally, but if you count on that to be your pass rush, that says everything
might,
you need to know about your pass rush.
He might get one or two pressures a year.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I mean, outside rushers are going to do much better. But, all right, well, thanks for...
All right, Brian.
Go answer the door.
Yeah.
Somebody's at the door.
Yeah, so you got to go answer the door.
We'll be right over.
Frank in Saratoga, New York says he sent this earlier, guys, and you get a chance to get to it. But he says, since 03, which year do you feel we had the strongest, most well-rounded Super Bowl team? And could that team have beaten this year's Patriots team or won either of the other last two Super Bowl losses?
The 04 team?
Of the winning Super Bowl
yes.
teams?
Yes. Which year do you feel we had the strongest, most well-rounded
04,
Super Bowl?
04, I would think, yeah.
04. Yeah. And yes, 04 would have wiped the floor with this team and probably would have won both Super Bowls.
But I think, I think 07 was still the best team that they've ever had.
Yeah, I like overall. I like the 04 team.
Yeah.
But I think the 07 team,
because it didn't, the offense wasn't quite as good as the 07 offense.
No.
But the defense was light years better
right.
than the 07.
And even on offense, they had playmakers. I mean, I know David Givens was not great, but in the postseason, he was a playmaker. He would show up and make plays, and you'd finish the day and say, I'm glad David Givens was on our offense.
It was
today.
Different.
He could be a Brandon Lloyd-like number, but you'd finish saying he made plays, whether it was a third down or a touchdown or a key catch here. He made plays, and I like those guys.
I mean, they didn't score 580 points or whatever it was, but they just held the ball the whole game.
Right.
You couldn't stop them. They ran the ball with Dillon. They passed it efficiently with Branch and Givens. You couldn't really get them off the field, even though that they weren't high flying and high scoring, but you couldn't stop them. And defensively, they just shut you down. The old 04 team was really, really good.
All right, a couple of them Facebook here. Michael says, John, I could give plenty of nitpicks about Sunday's game, but let's get to a better nitpick. We, Playbook listeners, will not have this great show for quite a while. We will have to find another avenue for sports talk.
We don't have that in the budget, John.
Well, on behalf of your many listeners, I hope you have a great offseason. I'll try to remember you and your kind wishes on July 22nd. And he says, P.S., put Junior Broadcaster in the booth. The 2013 yeah. move should be to pick up a solid corner that is capable of making plays. That's the one I happen to agree with. Solid corner, capable of making plays. All right.
So you would just re-sign Tlaib?
Assuming
you could do it.
Assuming you can do it. And he's the best that's out there? Yes. That would be the first move I would make.
Now, do you have concerns, A, about his health, and B, about the other
stuff? I have concerns about everything, yes.
I mean, he was perfect.
I have concerns about
John
everything. But he was here.
Everything.
He was here for what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks?
Right.
Okay, and he was a model citizen from what we can tell?
So that means...
What?
He was bad for 23 years, but he was good for 7 weeks.
Well,
I'll take it.
I'm willing to take it. Just means it shows me that he can do it.
He can.
So... Bring him on.
Or you hand him $40 million and he goes back to his old ways.
That could also be the case. But I'm guessing that they would put a clause in a contract for, you know, hey, it's great as long as you keep your behavior going.
Yeah, but see, everybody thinks that that's the hammer, but that doesn't help the Patriots if he goes off the rails.
Now you've invested in him.
Because you've invested in him being your guy, just like Sunday night, you lose your guy, and they didn't have any answers. So if you give him a contract... Just because I save the money, it doesn't hurt me on the cap if he screws up. Well, I lost the player that I was sort of basing the way I was going to play pass defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big
risk.
I want
Peppers. I'm talking myself into it. I doubt he's going to be available, but I want Julius Peppers.
I think that'd be a great move myself.
For the third time in the last 4 years, I want Julius Peppers on this team.
Twitter, Adam says, draft Florida State's Xavier Rhodes at the end of the first round, top of the second round.
Where we're going, we don't need Rhodes.
Rhodes. Yep. Xavier Rhodes will probably be available into the first. I don't know if that's too high for him, but that certainly is one aspect, one way you could go.
I'm going to plead ignorance here. I haven't gotten into this process at all. Yeah, I know who
really.
That is.
A lot of,
I know
yes.
who Xavier Rhodes
right.
is, but I haven't gotten into this process.
Frank says on Twitter, agree with Paul. Brady needs to be afraid of getting benched. We need to go after Alex Smith or a young and fast quarterback. Is there one?
Is that sarcasm
yeah,
or
I
is
think,
that real?
I think that's sarcasm. And just for, I'm not in
You're
favor
not. You're
of,
not. In
Brady
for
gets
no,
Brady?
I touched the same way. Okay. You said you'd rather have Alex Smith than Tom Brady.
Yeah, no. I have never...
Bring him here.
I've never...
Aaron and PR will blow a gasket.
I've never advocated benching Brady. I just think that in fairness, I think that he doesn't get anywhere near the amount of attention when they lose these games. Every year we go into the playoffs, it's all about Brady's legacy. It's all about, is he Joe Montana? And I don't know, maybe Joe Montana had it. This many really bad performances in playoff games. I don't know. I didn't break them all down when I was back in high school watching him play. But I just can't imagine that this is that much different than what Peyton Manning has done in his playoff career. This 7-7 stretch is Peyton Manning. You know, when everything is right and he plays great, they win. when he's off his game a little bit, the defense isn't there to support him. They don't have as many weapons as they once did. Whatever, they don't score commensurate to what they usually do in the regular season. That's what Peyton Manning did his whole playoff career. And he's a choking dog. Right?
And so you think Brady's a choking dog.
And I agree with that. I think that Manning choked in overtime. I think that was a terrible decision that Peyton Manning doesn't normally make, throwing across his body like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a choke. But Brady, you know, comes out. The numbers speak for themselves.
Could it just be that Brady and Manning have just seen the better days that are behind them, and this is what we have now
going forward? This is not a small sample size. This is 14 games.
I know.
And by the way, some of the wins in those 14 games weren't the greatest performances, like last year's AFC Championship game or the 2007 AFC Championship game against San Diego that he threw three picks. Some of the wins that they've had in the playoffs since they last won the Super Bowl haven't been great Brady performances. But I don't think people look at it that way. I think when you win the first 10, and that's it. You can do no wrong.
All right, Big E, what's your one move to improve? We've gotten everybody else. Next. One move to improve.
If the dream scenario of Peppers being available comes true, then I would say sign him.
Yeah.
Well played, E-Scal.
You know, but short of that, I would say either try to find that guy in the draft or the next best guy in free agency. I think that'd be my...
So you'd be going defensive front first?
Yeah, defensive end in particular.
End in particular, more so than tackle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pressure, edge.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Paul basically favors collapse in the pocket, somebody up the middle, more of a defensive line.
He wants Jonathan Finene.
Just to do something
A Finene-like guy that has more talent. Yes.
With talent. Right. No, I mean, that was just to say something different. To me, I'm with Andy. It's the edge.
So of the five
the dynamic edge rusher, because the reason why they badly need a cover corner, but Darrell Revis gives up completions.
Yes.
When you don't get.
When it doesn't matter.
So,
I mean, basically.
No, he's great, but he's the all time, I mean, he's the best. The chances you're going to get someone that good are so small.
Small.
But the chances, like Andy said, that you can get a guy that can disrupt the game off the edge, much greater.
And if you do that, then Alphonso Dennard, maybe he's good
enough. Maybe he becomes good
enough. He's looked like a tight, physical, fighty, feisty little corner.
That's why the pass rush to me is
so if you get a guy that's in the quarterback's face all the time, Dennard doesn't have to run all over the field.
You know, John, the last two or three years, there's been four or five guys in the draft that come out and they make it. You know, it's not just the Clay Matthews and guys like that just come in. J.J. Watt. There's other guys like Jabal Sheard in Cleveland, Justin Houston in Kansas City. Guys that aren't really household names. They've immediately had success rushing them. Brooks Reed in Houston.
Brooks Reed in Houston.
You know, second round guy. You could get them. They can come in
and
make an impact.
Or you could get the
elite
guy because there's been a bunch of those too.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm
Smith,
saying
Miller.
But the old argument.
Watt.
The old argument
Quinn.
Is, well, they picked
29th,
Andy.
I know everybody makes fun of me for Quinn,
get it?
But I'd take 11 and a half sacks or whatever he had this year. I mean,
but you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody said, well, they picked 29th. How can you get it? Well, find it. Find the guy. Everybody else seems to be able to do it. Chandler Jones was a great pick this year. I'd like to see another Chandler Jones-like pick.
Another type pick.
Proof, by the way, that you don't have to have a top five pick to get an impact player.
Right. All right, let's go to Jose in Maryland here. Jose, you're in the playbook.
Hey, guys, it's not Jose, it's Eddie from Maryland again.
Oh, hey, Eddie.
Earlier at PFW. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
I just listened the past 10 minutes to you guys. Unfortunately, I'm working right now, but those are very good points you guys are making. But like I said before, how can you have confidence if Belichick doesn't just change his philosophy? I would love to get edge rushers, you know, at the end of the first round, but the guy just doesn't, I don't know, he wants effort guys, I guess, and he's not going to win in today's NFL with effort, guys. I'm sorry. Not going to do it, you know? I think you guys have talked in the past about finding somebody who's one-dimensional, you know, guys that can just rush the passer like a Bruce Irvin. We need guys like that, for example. Not necessarily catch the guys like that, but, you know, something like that. So find somebody who can do something great, whether it's rush the passer, cover, you know, we definitely – and the – I've changed my mind about the, you know, what's worse, the pass rush or the secondary. And guys, I'm happy with Ninkovich and Chandler. I think we need some guys that can cover, actually. I mean, don't get me wrong, an edge rusher would be nice, another one, but we definitely need Steve Gregory. I'm sorry. He's not the answer at safety. You know, we just need talented guys. I don't know where, how, just, man, make, you know, Belichick gets paid big bucks.
At least you're not frustrated.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but this is a culmination of the 4 or 5 years.
Right, and I agree wholeheartedly with you. I've been one. I said I want a pass rusher who takes plays off because he's good enough to take plays off.
Yeah,
I want him dominating so much that he's the Randy Moss of pass rushers. That's how good he is. He takes a few plays off. I'd like a cover guy who is cocky, is one of those old school. I just cover. That's what I do. You know, Talib has a little bit of that in him. And you're right. I think we need less versatility, less effort, and more skill.
That's been one of my things. So all season long, I'm tired of looking for the 4-down players. Find me someone that could do a specialized thing at an exceptionally high level.
I love that. Exactly. So until something changes, I mean, I don't know how we can feel, every year, I'm going to look forward to next season. We're going to be good again. But are we going to be special enough, And we need special players to be special. That's what I think.
That's an Andyism right there. I like that.
Eddie's good point.
Like, Eddie's like my twin.
All right, Eddie.
We need special players to be special.
Thanks, buddy. All right. Gentlemen, does that put a wrap on you then?
Yes.
Yeah, I have to do SPFW. Anybody want to do some of that?
No. Nope.
Trying to pawn off his work already.
Not at all.
All right, well, you guys will be back. Yes, it's off season now, so you guys will be back on Thursday, correct?
Indeed.
Yes. Tuesdays and Thursdays during the off season at noon.
You'll have to have another cookie.
Noon to 2.
All right.
Enjoy your off season.
Well played. I'm going to try. I've got basketball to take care of me for a while, and then hopefully we'll
be in the booth.
Hopefully we'll figure something out between now and the start of next season, and which booth I'll actually be in.
I take that back. That's
next year.
My one move to improve. Rook takes over for Santos.
Well, he's going
to
be in the booth.
No, the broadcast booth.
No, I know, but then who's going to say first down?
Well, don't worry about it.
Maybe I can do that.
Don't worry about that.
Do you only work on Sundays with that gig? Sundays with that gig?
No, that's right.
Can I get that?
That's a good gig. If you can get it.
It's another Patriots touchdown. Can I come up with my own thing?
You probably could.
That's another Patriots 3rd down allowed.
Would Fred let you go? Yeah.
Yes, he would.
Yeah, he'd let you go.
Fred would definitely let me go.
All fans would be turning around. What the visiting team's PA guy is here today?
Thanks to Paul. Thanks to Andy. Thanks to Escal for being with us here in the opening hour of the program. We've got one more hour to go, and it's time for you, once again, not only your nitpicks from wrapping up the loss on Sunday, but one move to improve for 2013 in your New England Patriots. Web radio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook at JR Broadcaster Twitter. Ready, set, and go.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation, Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
Terrible, though. That's the last time we'll hear this for a while. Oh, yeah. It's our wrap-up program for 2012. As we look ahead to 2013 here in Patriots Playbook, I'm John Rook. And, of course, hit us up, webradio at patriots.com, ace ticket hotline 508-298-0398, john.rook on Facebook, at JR Broadcast or the Twitter address. Don't forget now, even though this program is getting ready to go on hiatus for the offseason, and we'll pick back up again next fall, that's one of the reasons why we do the social media aspect of this show with Facebook and Twitter. It's a way that we as Patriots fans and followers can stay connected. So even though you won't have me with the web radio email address, or you won't have me with the Ace Ticket hotline, the one thing you will have me is through Facebook. If you friended me on Facebook, or if you follow me on Twitter, well, then we can still stay connected through the off season, especially when news affecting the Patriots happens or doesn't happen, as the case may be. be, and you're wondering about something. And, hey, that's why we do this, because it's all about football. It's all about sharing information and sharing ideas in the offseason. So if you have not friended on Facebook, it's John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, and then submit the friend request, and then we'll pick it up. And then we can chat and do all kinds of things during the off season, and it's at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, and then we can stay in touch that way. Mary Beth on Facebook says, "So very disappointed, but a great season, just one small step away. Again, happy off season, John. Look forward to August." Thank you, Mary Beth. She's a very dedicated Patriots fan residing in the Cuse in upstate New York. Axel says, first, this loss was at least not as painful as the 2010 loss to the bleeping Jets, but it still sucked. Second, I'd like to share a recipe with you guys. It's an old classic NFL recipe, so you probably have heard it before. First, you take a key injury on defense, then add on the fact that his replacements were totally incapable of covering in a pass rush that was sitting in the stands at Gillette Stadium. Then, bad clock management and a dropped pass to end a drive. Finish by adding a couple of unlucky turnovers and season with coaching not to lose, and now you have a season-ending loss. Sounds like you have several nitpicks all wrapped up into the one there, Axel. Because they all did happen, I believe, on Sunday. He says, looking forward, Tyrann Mathieu, Honey Badger. I know that he has some baggage coming into the draft, but I think that BB is capable of keeping him out of trouble. He has amazing playmaking ability. Lastly, I hope that Ridley's fine. I've enjoyed listening this season. I will be back when the draft stuff starts, but it's going to be a long summer. Could very well be. Axel, and thank you for the sentiments and for following in the program. Shane says, as much as I want a speed receiver for outside the numbers, I got to agree with Andy. A dominant pass rusher would be the best route, and that in turn would make the secondary look not as poor. Have a great off season. All right, good stuff, Shane. That's all good. Let's see what else we have here. I got a couple of others, I think, on the homepage on Facebook here. Sean says, my nitpick for the game on Sunday, being too conservative. You had chances to go for it on fourth down in Baltimore territory, but instead they punted. I say go for it even if you don't make it. What's the worst? Baltimore gets the ball back in their territory? My pick to improve was keep Tlaib. Improve the defense. Overall, I think the Patriots need to get more physical with these teams and go back to what worked for you back in the early 2000s when you were a hard-hitting football team. Anyways, I look forward to next season and more playbook. Brian on Facebook says, my one move would be to re-sign Tlaib. He's not Darrelle Revis, but he really shores up the defense compared to, say, Rasai Dowling, a bird in hand. Yeah, I think that's, Brian, that's kind of how I agree. And, you know, and I understand the need for the pass rusher, and I do get where both, Andy and Eric are in particular. Paul is more of a let's collapse the pocket type thing and get a Fanene type in the middle to collapse the pocket on the rush. But, I agree. I actually think we're in pretty good shape pass rush wise, provided everybody's healthy. And again, if a guy makes himself available in the draft, well, then I don't think you can pass him up. I do agree with that. But all things being equal, what we need right now are more cover guys, and we need more athletes back there able to cover. And that's why I would opt for my top need would be to see if you can't re-sign Tlaib and see if you can't make him a Patriot and see if he can't continue to improve your situation back in the backfield. That's the big thing. That's the one thing that is at the top of the list for me anyway. Mark from Cheddar. It's now time to focus on the draft, so your names have changed again. Quick mention about the game. It was a weird one. I was feeling confident until Ridley got knocked out. That was one of those plays which told you two things. One, it wasn't the Patriots' day. Two, I feel guilty about watching football when that happens. The only upside on the loss is a personal note. I'm currently in an exam period at university. Due to snow, I have had two exams postponed, one of which was meant to be 12 to 2 Eastern today, and they will be rearranged the week beginning February 4th. If one of them is rearranged for that Monday, I no longer have to worry about being awake until 4:30 in the morning watching the Super Bowl. Yeah. One move to improve, he says, pass rusher opposite Chandler Jones. And I think that's what Eric and Andy would side with as well. Keep up the great work. Can't wait to get completely off topic all off season. All right, Mark. Good stuff. John in South Carolina. I hate to say it, but Paul is right. When we lost the Super Bowl in 85, I felt like, man, will we ever be there again? When we lost to Green Bay in the Super Bowl, I felt like, man, that might have been my last shot to see the Pats win a Super Bowl. These days, if we have a disappointing loss at the end of the season, I think if we make a change here or there, we could actually win the Super Bowl. I cannot thank the Patriots organization enough for allowing me to become one of the most hated fans in the league. Screw the rest of the league. Thank you, John. Alexander from Brazil. I haven't been supporting the Patriots since the 60s. Some might say I jumped on the bandwagon, though I got a Bledsoe jersey for my 15th birthday before Brady even left Michigan. But I'm so used to being the punching bag down here with my soccer team being relegated to Brazilian second division twice in my lifetime, not winning a single championship in the last 12 years. I treasure so very much what I have with the Patriots, even though I'm so far away. I can't even be sad with this loss. It's so much more than I ever had with my soccer team. That's a great perspective. And he says, one move to improve, it's all good. We could have gotten to another ring with this team, but last year's team, the year before that, too. He says, it's all good. Alexander, you indeed have the best attitude, I think, of anybody that I've come across today. Good for you, and I hope you'll be around for many years to come. Luis in Chicago, the move to improve is sell out and become the Giants. Oh, gosh. I hate the Giants, but we should. And just draft 6'5 defensive ends and safeties every single year in the first or second round. Wow. Sell out and become the Giants. Nope, never, never, ever, ever. Todd in Nova Scotia. Guys, my nitpick, say what you want about Tlaib not being that good, but it's like PFW. We all know there's a weak link, and you all guys can look around and you can think you know who it is. Will McCourty be a captain next year? Will Arrington be gone? Who the hell cares? If you thought we added Tlaib and it helped, you're probably the problem. There needs to be major changes in that secondary. I'm tired of being the laughing stock of the league. I had to spend some money to fix the problem. I don't think they're the laughing stock in the league, Todd. I really don't. I don't think they're the laughing stock in the league at all. Far from it. I mean, fact of the matter is that this team is, as Fred was talking about early in the program today, you are the 49ers. You are the Cowboys. You are, you know, the Steelers, except you don't have quite as many Super Bowl wins as those three mentioned franchises. But you are there in the same breath and mention of those franchises in the league, whereas 30 years ago, you were still the laughing stock of the league. Back in the 1980s, until you got to Super Bowl 20, and even, maybe even up and including that, because they had never really been there before, you were the laughingstock of the league. You were the sad Pats. You were a team that could go 1-15 as easily. In fact, it was a heck of a lot more easy to go 1-15 than it was to be a 9-7 playoff contender. So, you gotta appreciate what it is that you do have. And this team does have the ability to grow from here. What we're kind of debating, and what we'll undoubtedly spend the entire offseason debating, will be how best to improve what you already have. What are the next steps that should be taken for this team to not only A, immediately become successful and competitive and a playoff contender again next year, but what will ultimately get this team over the hump that they just can't seem to get over since prior to 07. Those are the things that you've got to look at. A, you need a little stronger on defense. B, you probably need one or two more weapons to throw with on offense because, frankly, this is 2 years in a row now that Rob Gronkowski's been hurt. And I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think the guy might be injury-prone simply because of his reckless abandon with which he plays on the field. And if he gets hurt again next year and misses any significant time again next year, well, then what good has it done to wrap him up to the long-term deal? See, Rob Gronkowski is one of those loose cannon kind of guys that we all love. Oh, he's crazy Gronk. But we love the reckless abandon he plays with, but you can't do that in this league. You must pick and choose your opportunities and your chances in order to play with reckless abandon. Sometimes you have to know when to dial it down a bit. So what good is it if you don't have that weapon out there? This is 2 years in a row that the Patriots have been on the doorstep and they haven't had Rob Gronkowski healthy. And I think it's cost them. So it's clear that you need one more weapon somewhere on offense. And we all know that the clock is definitely tick-tocking away on Tom Brady. What does he have left? A couple of years, maybe? Good years enough? Maybe? That's what I'm willing to give him, about 2 years. This is the most important offseason, in my opinion, in New England Patriots history. Because you are so stinking close to being where you want to be, and that is back at the top of the heap and another Super Bowl champion. You're so close. And it's so hard to get back to where you are. But this team and this franchise has built itself up and has made itself in the image of its coach and slash GM and owner where they can be competitive year in and year out. And that's great. But even they know you got to win it somewhere, somehow, some way. You got to win one. They've won three. They've been very close to others. How do you get back there again? And the clock is still tick-tocking away. Here's Cavern in Florida. Cav, you're in the playbook. How are you?
Hi, John. It's good to talk to you. Enjoyed listening to the show this year.
Thank you.
I agree with what you were saying a minute ago about Tlaib, but I also agree with, I don't know if it was an email or your point a second ago about improving the offense. The guys earlier on PFW talked about getting a little bit faster and more athletic on offense at the wide receiver position. And I'm almost convinced that that is another area that we need to look at, because you're right. I mean, this is two playoffs in a row now that we've had to go into the most important game of the season without our biggest pass-catching weapon outside of Welker, and he hasn't been there.
Right.
And it just really makes me wonder how much different this offense would have looked had we could have spread the field a little bit and opened things across the middle for Wes and for Aaron this past Sunday. And then also, I don't really understand the why we chose to not really use Vereen as much as we had the previous week. I mean, I feel like we finally displayed him to the world, and then the very next week we decide that, you know, he's no longer a pass-catching option, when I think there were some matchups that we could have created and got Vereen the ball in some space where he could have taken advantage of a not-so-good Ravens defense. So that's just kind of my nitpick and what I think we should do to get better moving forward.
Good stuff. All right, and thank you for your listening to the program and staying up to date and all the good stuff that you do to be an up-to-date Patriots fan. Thank you. All right, Cav, appreciate the phone call. Let's hit Melvin in Tennessee here. Melvin, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, man.
Well, I guess I can kind of agree with the same thing. I think it's a lot, because being down here in Tennessee, man, it's hard to prior to this, keep up with a lot of the information going on up there, so I appreciate the show.
Sure, thank you.
Yeah, but as far as the game goes, the biggest nitpick I have, like I just said, was really that other than maybe, and there's questions about the running game, I guess with 3rd and 2, numerous times in the game that we couldn't even run the ball with that. We're right back in the same position and same topic that we discussed last year,
mm-hmm.
with pass coverage, pass rush, wide receivers. And every acquisition that we tried to make, it really didn't work out to what we thought it was going to be. But, you know, I just feel like sometimes with, even though this is long, of course, number one is getting a DB. If you told me that Marquise Cole versus Anquan Boldin was going to be our season, then I would have been really nervous prior to this game, because I just don't think maybe Tavon Wilson could have went to safety. Maybe Devin McCourty could have went back to corner. I wasn't going to be comfortable with that matchup. Do you feel like that was the best person that we had, or there's nothing else that you could do? I know he's a backup, but that was, like Bill always says, that put you in the best position to win that game, really, with Cole and Mark on Boldin. Anything else you would have done? I know Chung maybe could have went back to safety, but he got hurt later on in the game, but...
I don't know what else. I don't know what else you could have done, Melvin. Honestly, I mean, first of all, and I guess that's another nitpick that I would have from the game. But it just seems like, you know, sometimes these guys don't really adjust like we think they should, or that we think that they're capable. And, you know, for a guy like Tlaib, for him to go out as quickly as they did, they seemed so ill-prepared for that. And they had to know that the guy was on basically a leg and a half anyway, if he was going to, you know, take off, you know, after making that one, you know, pass defense that he did. And you could see him hobble off the field. So, I mean, they kind of slide guys in and out, you know, and say, okay, well, if he's out, then so-and-so moves over, yada, yada. But, when you have Kyle Arrington as your slot guy who's going to move in, I just think that Baltimore saw that and they were licking their chops, and clearly Joe Flacco took advantage of that. So you got to have better depth, and you have to have more ability in the secondary. That's why that's my one move to improve. And I understand the pass rush aspect of it.
For me, that would be 1A. But 1, at the top of the list, is you just have to have better depth in the rotation back there. Otherwise, these kinds of games are going to continue to come back and haunt you. This franchise is set to win 12 or 13 games again next year. I'm convinced of it. Okay? They will be back at the top. They should probably, and they definitely will be favored to win the AFC East. And anybody that doesn't favor them to win the AFC East doesn't know what they're talking about. Does not know what they're talking about. I don't care if you follow the Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins, they'll all be improved, maybe. But the Patriots are still right now a good head taller than everybody else in the division. So I do believe that the Patriots will be back in the playoffs. I think the Patriots win 12 or 13 again. But how do you get to 14 or 15? That's what you need to know. That's what you have to concentrate on in this offseason. And it's got to start with athletes and playmakers. And you need them in the secondary. You need them on the defensive line. And you need them on the wide receiving core. That's where you got to do. I don't know what else, though, to answer your other question. I just don't know what else they could have done on Sunday. They have stayed with, these are the guys that have played all year long. And it's almost to the point where, could you have mixed and matched? Maybe, especially after you got burnt a couple of times. But Kyle Arrington's not the answer. He's a free agent. He needs to go find another job.
Right, Kyle Arrington. And see, I love Dennard. I think that was something that they found. But.
Dennard is an absolute keeper. He's a steal, and picking him up when they did late in the draft is clearly they thought he had first, second round talent, but the reason he got knocked down so far was because of the off field issues in Nebraska. Now that apparently he's cleared that up, and he seems to be an okay, dude around here, he's a keeper. But you need help. And we've seen that McCourty's a better safety. You still need help. And right now, I'm saying if you're not going to be able to get that through the draft, and I'm even questioning if you can get that through the draft, Melvin, because you bring in a rookie, you're putting a lot of pressure on a rookie for a position that is just so fragile to begin with. To me, the best option here is to invest in somebody that exists and knows how to do it. Aqib Talib. That's the guy.
Remember, John, earlier this season, I remember Eric getting so mad at me when I was saying that you cannot solve that issue in the draft. You have to go acquire somebody.
Yes. Right.
And he just thought that it was not the youth or whatever. It was just the talent. Well, you evaluated this talent throughout college, and you're not hitting on it, obviously, throughout the years. You have to get somebody that can play.
Yes.
And now that we have somebody that can play, we don't even know if we're going to keep them.
Yeah.
That's frustrating to me. That's nitpicky.
Yeah.
If we're losing this different ways, then I'm okay. But
yeah.
The same way every year, it's meaningful. It means nothing just to go out there every single time. And like you said, Dennard was a steal. And I would love Dennard even more if he was on, like, Jacoby Jones this past weekend or somebody. You put a lot of rookies. You invest a lot in these rookies. 34 of them are starting year in and year out.
Right.
Rookie defensive backs have started for this team the last 2 and 3 years. What do you expect for them to be nothing but 28?
That's absolutely correct, Melvin. So it's one thing to go out and get it through the draft, and it's great, but you can't expect rookies to come in and perform like all pro players. You can't.
Right. Yeah, that's way too much pressure to be putting on those young guys.
Agreed.
And the last thing I'm going to say is, as far as, of course, going down the line, I just said a little bit with a pass-covering linebacker. It's a lot of issues that we can nitpick. But Brady, Branch was on a linebacker a lot during this past game that I saw. If Brady ain't comfortable with that matchup, with Deion Branch, one of your favorite targets throughout the – I don't know if it's Branch. I don't know if it's Tom just sucking up during the rest of the game. Because Whithead, it was 3rd-and-2 numerous times. If with this whole hurry-up offense, I would have at least ran up to the ball, maybe tried to get him to draw offside. So I was waiting for that sometime during this year just to, maybe go on too, because they're going to be looking, try to get that jump. They're not set. They're just going to – somebody's going to fly across that line.
Right.
I would ideally think. That never happened. Maybe do the pooch punt, maybe call a timeout. But there was numerous things that Tom Brady could have done better with dumping the ball off the Whithead in the short and maybe going to the matchup with Deion Branch versus the linebacker. And just, I don't know, I'm not blaming it all on Tom Brady, but it's more of, I don't know, whatever, I guess it's the, I guess I can just, the coaches plus him, but it's really weird that I thought that with that 3rd-and-2 that many times and as gutsy, as fired up as Tom Brady is and as aggressive as like I said, Bill Belichick is, he just let that pass up. And the matchups you were talking about, maybe put Vereen out there versus linebacker or something. You know, somebody that can get open quick. But there were opportunities that they left out there on the field.
They
but,
did. They most definitely did, Melvin. All right, very quickly then, one move to improve then overall is what again?
You really can't fault it other than defensive back.
Yeah.
There's nothing that comes before that. Pass rush is second. Like I said, it's second. Just, I mean, because you can only do so much with the pass rush itself. I think that they've already said that they were going to acquire that move last year. They had Jake Beckett inactive, healthy, not even, you know, on the roster. So I think you need a defensive back. I don't want to see my season on the line with Marquise Cole versus Bolden again.
Right. Sure. Okay.
I'll see you.
Melvin.
I'll see you later, man.
Thanks, man. You got it. Melvin in Tennessee. Awesome job all season long bringing his takes. All right, let me squeeze in as many emails as I can here because we're going to wrap up the program today with Bill Belichick's closing news conference, wrap up the season, so you can hear from the coach himself what he thinks some of the priorities are if you haven't had a chance to listen to that yet. We figure that's an appropriate way to kind of take us into the offseason that will be 2013. Lamont says, defense needs to be more aggressive and put a hat on the other team. Offensive players like the Seahawks, and fix the secondary ASAP. Leave Tom Brady alone. Tom from Virginia, longtime listener, longtime Pats fan. Here's what bothers me most. Every time the Pats get into playoff mode, it seems they get tight, physically, verbally, whilst our opponents are loose, talking smack, taking nothing in return. This year especially, it really seemed we had no fight whatsoever, before, during, or after the game. Then we absorbed that bag of wind Suggs' comments about being a bunch of arrogant pricks. Whether they recant their statements or not, they're still taking a shot on the airways with nothing in return. It would be nice to see them go into the playoffs with a chip on their shoulder and defending their reputation like when they won 3 championships. I think it was well said, Tom. I don't think I feel the need to comment anymore. That's well said. Jacob from Denmark. Who do you think we should target in the draft and in free agency? Whatever it takes, Jacob, in order to improve the secondary. Secondary. You got to cover. You got to stop. You got to man up sometimes. You got to bump and run. You got to glove guys. Secondary. That's what I want to see. That's the biggest thing, I think, that you got to see. In all honesty, Nick from Birmingham, UK. I think a better GM in terms of talent evaluation is what we need. If we can get a guy who can level with Bill when it comes to trading down and trading for average players, that'd be great. Guy could pick a good wideout or a good corner or safety. I want a GM that'll focus on getting talented physical players on both sides of the ball. A GM with a eye for talent would be good. And Bill has gotten better, but he still needs help. Scott Pioli's available. I think. This one comes from, I don't know, he didn't leave a name here. My one move for improvement would be, yes, go back to the Pat Patriot logo. Actually, I'll start a movement on Twitter on this. Hope it'll help get it done. Ain't happening. But, okay, good try anyway. It's time for an image change. I'm a graphic designer. Believe me, this will help very much. Good stuff having the PFW guys on, John. Okay, thank you. It's not going to happen, though. The old Pat Patriot represents, you know, basically 25 years of losing. So I think we kind of look at it like, oh, isn't that nice? Oh, isn't that cute? I don't think they're doing that. Brent in Illinois. John, I blame Brian Daboll for this game. He was brought back as an offensive consultant, and the offense falls flat on its face. Okay, just kidding. Seriously, I think that by far the biggest issue of the game was the halftime entertainment or lack thereof. And for that, I blame Kevin. Kevin's shaking his head. Yep, that's me. Anyway, let's get better on defense. I think we missed Gronk's blocking skills and figure out somehow to cover someone in the middle of the field. Like, seems like the middle was always open for Baltimore. Agreed, Brent. Coverage, coverage, coverage. Wow. How many more times do I got to say it? All right, here's John who says, as a football fan, I should not have to put up with players acting like jackasses off the field. You want to throw a cheap shot, throw your leg up or head on in the field, well, fine. Once you get off the field, then act like the millionaire you're being paid to become. Say what you want about the Brady leg lift off the field he respects, or at least pretends to respect the other team. I should not have to put up with all these players taking pot shots at my team, or any team for that matter. Win or lose, players, coaches, owners need to remember where the money comes from. Big business buying box seats. Yeah. Yeah. Joel from Atlanta. I believe that you guys should have Fan of the Year. Maybe give out some Patriots gear. How the fans should win is the dedication to PFW and Patriots playbook. I send emails and call in every week since the start of the season, but I'm not saying I should win, but if I do email, well, you know. Thank you, Joel. All right, we're going to put Joel down for a little for consideration. All right.
You're the Fan of the Year. It's like Bank of America Fan of the Year. We give it away at like halftime or something.
Yeah. There is a Patriots Fan of the Year, and it is sponsored by Bank of America, one of the team corporate sponsors. And you certainly have a right, and I believe you can find it right here on the website, how to nominate your favorite Fan of the Year for next year. Brad says, just got back to my desk from lunch to hear you're still on. That's why you're the best in the business, besides Eric. Thank you. Here's one from Lamont, who says, we need a new defense and secondary coordinator. Thank you. Eddie says, do you see us making a play on Dwayne Bowe in free agency, or will we address receiver in the draft? On defense, we see other teams pick up players like Clay Matthews and Von Miller in the draft, but would Bill know what to do with players like this? He would have Miller setting the edge or dropping back into coverage instead of turning him loose. You know, I don't know about Dwayne Bowe in free agency. Maybe, but I think he'd command too much money, and I think Patriots would be best served if they're going to spend money. I think they're best served bringing Wes Welker back. And again, I've flip-flopped on this more times than I care to think. Literally, I am a fish, you know, out of water here. I don't know which way I'm going to go. I said recently that I, you know, come full circle and thought that Welker would be back. Now I don't know. I think, honestly, gang, I really believe that Wes had a trouble in certain situations this year holding on to the ball. And I don't know if that's a byproduct of, you know, just time and wear and tear, or I just don't know. But it just seems to me that his misses stood out more than his 110 catches. I'll leave that and let you ruminate over that one. Brooklyn Matt. John, I'm still worn out and weary from Sunday night. I had to get off the couch and stumble over to the keyboard to give you a thank you. So, yeah, thanks for all you do over here on Patriots.com and up in the booth at Gillette. And whenever I'm watching games with people, I say, hear the announcer? I know that guy. He knows me. Pretty cool. Thank you. I'm always listening to every show because, well, I live the life of Riley. But the one nitpick I have is you not being here for every 2 o'clock time slot. I'm already waiting in my spot on the couch, plopping grapes into my mouth, and I hear Fred say, there'll be no playbook today. John's off announcing in Siberia or wherever. I curse you and say, ah, geez, what am I going to do for the remainder of my freaking idle afternoon now? Thanks a lot, Rook. So that's my nitpick. I'm here for more playbooks than you are. One of these days, I'm going to call up Kevin, and we'll do a Brooklyn Matt playbook. Kraft Productions will be here. The shenanigans quickly send down officials to storm the studio and shut the whole rogue operation down before the FCC levies massive fines. Anyway, John, have a great offseason. I hope you get your dream job. Either way, I'll miss you until September. Thank you, Brooklyn Matt. You're a good egg, dude. Gabe from Chicago. Definitely a hard loss to take. Enjoyed listening to all the programming all season long. Pats definitely need depth in the secondary. Hoping for some good moves in the offseason. Going to be a long summer. Well, it won't be a long summer. It won't be as long as we think it will be. If you want to stay in touch, there's a couple of ways you can do it. Find me on Facebook at John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, or you can follow me on Twitter at JR Broadcaster, and then we can kind of stay in touch throughout the course of the offseason. My thanks to all of Patriots fans everywhere for contributing to the program, to taking the time, to listening to the show, to the opinions and the thoughts and the news that we have to pass along to you through this particular venue, to all the great guests that have come along, from the network guys to the local beat writers to the broadcasters who are my friends and counterparts in the industry. And they've all taken time because they all know how passionate I am and how passionate you are about the New England Patriots. That's what makes this show special. It's one of the reasons why this show has lasted now since the 2001 season. And here we are now moving into 2013. So, you know, this has been cutting-edge stuff for a long time. The Patriots have done it longer and better than anybody else, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. The fact that we have this live programming, unique programming for you every week. Of course, the PFW guys will be back on Thursday. They're now moving into their off-season swing, so they'll broadcast at noon Eastern time on Tuesdays and Thursdays every week throughout the off-season. So activity will certainly pick up as we get nearer the combines and the draft at the end of April. And, of course, Patriots playbook, based on everything that I know right now, will return again before week one of the regular season sometime around Labor Day next September. So that's the laydown. That's the lowdown. And hopefully we'll be ready to roll at that time. But in the meantime, you know how to stay in touch throughout the course of the off season. All right, we're going to wrap it up today. And by the way, my thanks to Kevin, who does a tremendous job doing what he does in keeping everybody together, keeping the PFW guys in line, keeping my guests booked, keeping track of my schedule, which obviously gets very hairy, usually in the fall, 1 or 2 days a week, because I've got college football duties. And then it gets even hairier when the basketball season starts because I travel with college basketball.
Are you using those terms to make me jealous?
No.
All right, I'm just
saying. No, he's pointing to his noggin here.
Yeah, that bald
no.
head.
No. I'm being totally truthful. Young man does his job as well as anybody does it, keeping up with me.
I appreciate that.
And so I thank you for helping us put together quality product.
And hopefully,
here, buddy.
I mean, as much as I would love to continue doing the show, hopefully you're in the booth next year. That's all I have to say.
Well, but even if I am in the broadcast booth, that doesn't mean that this show can't continue.
No, you can still keep doing it.
I would very much like to. I think
you'll be the broadcast voice of the Patriots.
I think the broadcast voice of the Patriots should have his own show.
That's fair.
Don't you?
I agree.
And I would think the team would want that to happen.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm willing as long as all the other parties are agreeable.
I'm agreeable.
I have no problem with that whatsoever. So if that does happen, then great. If it doesn't happen, it's still great. I'll be around and we'll rock and roll with whatever transpires.
Sounds good.
All right. Very good. Now, in the meantime, we thought we would end the program with Bill Belichick's wrap up. Take it for what it's worth. Sometimes I know you feel like he doesn't really tell you much, but what I can tell you, though, is that his word is the final line. It is the law. It's what is going to happen. He's going to stick around for at least another year. He said that in his end-of-season news conference as well.
Yep.
And I see no reason why we wouldn't want that to continue to happen. He's still going to go down as one of the all-time great coaches in NFL history. We're frustrated as fans, sure. But as I said earlier, you're so close. Now it's all about one or two pieces to this puzzle that will get us through the AFC title and then give you an opportunity to win the game that, again, you came so close to winning last year, even when you didn't have as good a defense as you had this year. You're close. Keep pushing the envelope forward. Keep finding the guys that you need to win games with. And, yes, that also means, in my opinion, keep the guys you already have under contract. Figure out a way to afford them. You got some cap room. Get her done. Here's Bill Belichick.
Last night, just referencing the Baltimore game. I think we, you know, if we're looking at the tape this morning, that we definitely missed some opportunities. Certainly the red area was a big deciding edge in the game. In their favor. I felt like defensively we didn't do a good enough job on second down. We had them in a number of second down situations, second and tens and those kind of things. And they kind of got off the hook there with, a couple passes to Rice, Pitta, Smith, run by Pierce. So we just were never able to get into many third down situations there in the second half where we actually could have gotten them off the field, didn't string those plays together. We had a lot of negative plays or no gain plays in there, but we just weren't able to string them together, and they were able to keep those drives going and finish in the red area. So really, that was pretty much the story of the game. Missed opportunities and the differential in the red area. Obviously a couple turnovers there in the second half. Even though we were behind, I still felt like, as we were moving the ball, we were getting down there. If we could have got it in, we could have made it a one-score game. We would have had a chance there, but we got to the, 34 or 24 or 18, somewhere in there 3 or 4 times in that 30 to 20-yard line range and just couldn't, just couldn't really get it past that. So, thought that was kind of the story. Yesterday had a good effort in the kicking game, but just not enough to get us over the hump. So that being said, on balance, I still thought that certainly there are a lot of positives from this football team. It's a team that I enjoyed coaching. I thought that the players worked hard. Behind the scenes, everybody doesn't see that, but on a day-to-day basis, they worked hard. They competed well. They didn't make excuses. They got better over the course of the season. both individually and collectively. And, you know, we wouldn't have gotten to where we were without a lot of good, consistent performances from a lot of people in a number of games and countless practices and meetings and all the things that lead up to that. So, you know, that part of it, I thought there's, again, you know, a lot of positives that we accomplished. Certainly the outcome yesterday is not where we wanted to end up, but I give these guys a lot of credit for what they did do and the number of times that they did it, the number of times they did it in tough situations. So hopefully we can, you know, continue to build on that. And you know, I don't think anything this year really means too much for next year. Each year is a new year. We start all over again, just like everybody else does. Some of our younger players will have a little bit more experience. Hopefully that'll be a good thing, but that doesn't really count for anything until we go out there and start doing it again. So we'll start the off-season process of evaluating the team, our schemes, and start putting the team together for next year when those opportunities come. A lot of preparation in the next couple of months relative to free agency and draft and so forth. So a lot of that's really preparation work, as well as some decisions we have to make on players that are currently that were on the team this year that are not currently under contract for next year. But again, all that will take place down the road. Nothing will happen, you know, today, tomorrow, or the next day. So that's not really a time to talk about that. That's for a later point in time when we can make an evaluation of the entire football team and put it all together. It's not, things aren't necessarily done on an individual case-by-case basis. Certainly each individual is important, but collectively it has to be looked at in context of the entire team. And that process takes a little thought and takes a little while to go through that process and encompass all the factors that really need to be considered. So, that's pretty much where we are for now.
So the offseason started for a lot of teams already, and the Senior Bowl is this week. You jump right back, right into that, to the staff.
Yeah, that'll be part of it, sure. Yeah, that'll be part of it. I mean, well, certain people in our organization are down there. I don't know. I don't think we all could get down there if we wanted to, but yeah, sure. Well, of course, you know, like just like we were at the East-West game with members of our organization last week and the Senior Bowl. Yeah, that's all. That's part of it, sure.
What are some of the other things that you're going to be doing over the next 3-4 days?
Well, really planning for the off season, looking at what our staff's going to be doing, how we're going to manage our time and our priorities relative to you know, evaluating our players, evaluating our scheme, evaluating how we did things this year from a logistical standpoint, practice, meetings, all those kind of things. And then moving forward into draft preparations, free agency preparations. Again, all that's kind of in a planning state, not that we haven't done it before, but, you know, specifically lay it out so everybody knows what they're doing, when they're doing it, and how we can manage our time most effectively to get all those things done.
Bill, when you look at the cap space the team has, the players under contract for 2013, how do you feel like the team is positioned to make another run?
Well, I don't know. I think that's, you know, obviously right now that's part of what we're going to be doing is looking at all those things and trying to manage it the best way we can and how all that's going to work out. I don't know. As you say, I think cap space is a very misleading term. I don't really think it has too much meaning until you take into context the number of players that are not under contract with that cap space. So you can have not much cap space and a lot of players under contract, or you could have a lot of cap space and not as many players under contract. I mean, who's better? So I don't know. Each situation is different, and cap space can be very that can be maneuvered, as we all know, in a number of different ways. So I think the bottom line is you collectively take a look at all your resources and try to put together the best plan to formulate your team and develop your team throughout the entire course of the offseason. It doesn't all happen in March. It doesn't happen in April. It's a continuing process that goes all the way, I would say, really into September. And each stage of it's important. Or in our case, it even went into October with the acquisition of Aqib. So, but of course, we had to have our team pretty well formulated before that point. I'm not saying that, you know, we waited until then, but it was still part of the process then. So I'd say it's, you know, really a six-month process that isn't anywhere close to being finalized or certainly planned for completion at this point. Would not make any decisions on any players into the future now. Like, you just can't do it. There's too many factors, too many unknown things, and all the things I said about Aqib, I meant, and I still feel that way. Nothing's changed, but I can't put into place an entire plan for the team at this point in time. Just not enough information. It's too early. And again, as I said, I don't think you can, as much as you want to just, you know, go case by case and list each guy and, you know, what his deal is. I think that there is some of that, no question. But at the same time, when you're trying to put together a team, you've got to look at the entire team before you just say, okay, well, you know, we want to try to keep this guy. Well, you know, we don't want to keep this guy, or we want to try to get somebody else, or whatever. You've got to look at the entire context of the team and not just take it one guy piece by piece. I don't think that's the way you put together an entire football team. You got to see the big picture and how it all fits together, and a lot of factors that go into that. So that's why it takes some time.
Asking the same question, then. I mean, based on what West did in 2012, would you
it's
want...
It's the same answer. Thank you.
Bill, this might be something more for, like, your off-season when you sort of review everything, but when you think back to the losses in the playoffs over the last 5 years, like the last games the Patriots had played, Ravens, Giants in the Super Bowl, Jets, Ravens, Giants in the Super Bowl, is there anything that stands out to you as a common thread as to maybe the way the team was built that just couldn't allow the team to finish it off in those games?
I think each of those games have their own individual characteristics, but obviously they're all losses, so that's the thing you want to point to, and then there are certain things that go with when you lose games. Just like if you point to all the playoff wins, you're going to find some common threads there too. I think it's more, rather than trying to look from the back forward, I think it's really the way that I would try to analyze it is to look at it as the process piece by piece, and, you know, each step along the way, rather than say, okay, well, here's the final result. You know, let's backtrack it. I think you take it step by step, and whether you won or lost, I mean, that's not always the determining factor. It's what can you do better along the way, even if you did win, or what did you do well, even if you lost, and then obviously try to improve the things that didn't go well, win or lose, and that's really what we try to focus on. Do more things right, try to correct mistakes, and build on the things that are right and try to do more of them.
Oftentimes describe this type of setup as like being on a treadmill and then, you know, it just stops and it's sort of abrupt. For you, in a 39th season in the NFL next year, do you feel like you're ready to hop back on the treadmill, or is it too soon to...
Yeah, well, that's the NFL. I mean, you know, the last game, you play a game in this time of year, you're either euphoria or it's a crash landing. And so for us yesterday, it was a crash landing. So a year ago at this time, it was the other feeling. It's one or the other. There's no in between, and there's certainly no soft landings. The season is suddenly a season that's very much alive and with great hopes and expectations and energy suddenly crashes and it's over, and that's the way it is. It's going to be for every team but one this year, and that's the NFL. So it's not going to change. It's the way it is. Unfortunately, that's where we were last night. It's where we are today. Just stopped. It's over. We're on to next year.
I'm not asking you to quantify levels of disappointment with the way things went yesterday. No matter what,
But the number of times you guys were in second and short, third and short, had positive plays on first down, it seemed to me as if, as you mentioned, missed opportunities. Do you look at some of this and saying, you know, we were so close on some of these plays? Give the Ravens credit, but there was a lot that we had to do with our own demise.
I couldn't have put it better myself, Tom. Give the Ravens credit. They did a great job. They deserved to win. They were the better team. We had opportunities that we didn't capitalize on, and they obviously hurt us. So, and the Ravens had opportunities that they did capitalize on, and that's why they're still playing. So they did a better job of playing and coaching than we did last night, and they deserve to win the game, and they did. So take nothing away from them. We missed our opportunities.
With there's a lot of a lot of youth on defense. You feel like there's a lot of potential or a high ceiling for those guys to improve going forward now?
Well, I think there's opportunity for everybody to improve. I think there's opportunity for all of us to improve. I hope that I can do it. I hope that as a staff we can do it. And I hope that individually and collectively as players and a team we can do it. So, sure. But that's, you know, I think that's the way it always is. You know, we're always trying to get better each year, every, you know, every week, every season. So I think we'll hopefully learn things from this season, use those experiences, work on things in the off season that'll individually and hopefully collectively, you know, take us to higher ground.
Bill, you said there were a lot of positives to the season. What were some of them? And did those kind of...
I mean, we won 13 games. We're playing an AFC championship game. I mean, not a whole lot of teams that are saying that. So, yeah, I mean, our performance, our production...
About the grind, you know, and I think Mike kind of alluded to this. Do you feel, you know, energized to coach another season? Because now you are the longest tenured coach in the league.
Yeah. I'll be here. You'll have to deal with me again next year. I know that's disappointing for a lot of you, but that's... Until I'm told otherwise, I plan on being here. Okay, well, thank you. Appreciate your patience and cooperation all year. And see you down the road. All right, thank you.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.